Gemara says at the end of the Zayin Amar Aleph, Nafal Yadayin lo yotziru lamis, Mai shna Yadayin. We'll go with, as Tosus explains, according to our Girsa. Sorry. They think it means a Dayan got his hands on it. A Dayan found it. So what's the difference between a Dayan or someone else? Amarava hachi kamar ba'acher shemotza shtarshan of Yadayin heichidam yikos v'henpik lo yotziyu o lamis. That it's telling if you stomp find a star, right? Until now we've been talking about two people holding a star. Now it turns out a third party finds the star, even if it was a star that was authorized by a dayan, that was already authorized by a dayan that has henpik. Lo yotziyu o lamis. He's not allowed to give it back. Lo mi vayi lo kasu behenpik v'kilu meim kasu lo zolava. And obviously, it's not davka enough of the dayan. Even obviously, if you find an unmekuyim star, you can't give back to the malveh because maybe the lover wrote it and didn't borrow the money yet. Because how did they do stars in the old days? Right, the lover would write the star, have it signed, prepare the star. Right, the malveh is not going to hand over the money until the lover hands over the star. What if they don't have like witnesses there? So the lover prepares the star in advance and goes to borrow the money. And takes the money and gives the shtar instead. So if it wasn't Mekoyim, then maybe the loan was never even done yet. Cost of Lovos Lovlova. So of course you can't give back to the Malveh. Maybe this poor Lov was going to get ripped off because he never borrowed the money. Ela filo kasbe henpek to Mekoyim, even if it's Mekoyim. Obviously, no one's Mekayim a shtar until after the loan is done. So even though the loan was done, lo yachsid chashinon le pi ra'on. Because even though the loan actually was executed, still we can't give back to the Malveh, because maybe the Lova paid him back and took the shtar and the Lova dropped it. And Chashin Lepiron, and therefore we can't give it back to the Malveh. Rabbi Yossi or Rebbe Cheskasov, a low Chashin Lepiron, and Rabbi Yossi is not Choshish for Piron. Why is Rabbi Yossi not Choshish for Piron? After all, there are two possibilities. Either the Malveh dropped it, or the Lova dropped it. Sounds a little like 50-50. So Teinach Lechachamim say, well, we 50-50, we shouldn't do anything. Shouldn't be multi-mammon, so don't give it back. Why does Rav Yossi think, even though there's two possibilities, you can give back the Malveh when they take money from the Loveh? Because it's unlikely the Loveh dropped it, because if the Loveh had dropped it because he paid, he wouldn't have dropped it, he would have ripped it up right away. Any Loveh who has half a brain knows that as soon as you pay the money and get the shtar, you rip it up right away. You don't take a chance on carrying it around. Okay. Exactly now. You can go back and say, so what's the Yisoda, the Machlokes, the Chacham, Rabbi Yossi then? Rabbi Yossi seems to have a good point, meaning, l'chor, we should give back to the Malveh, right? Because the Lova would have ripped it. The Malveh could have lost it. That's a normal thing that might happen. The Lovish, it's very rare he would have lost it because he should have ripped it up. So Rabbi Yossi has a point. So why are the Chachamim super duper nervous? That, as I said, the Lamas of Sugya, we're going to leave for a few blot and come back to why we're very nervous when we find stars. Okay, we're just going to go through this Gemara a little bit, Bikias. So the Gemara asks, L'chayish l'yos l'piron, v'atanya matzah shtar k'sug b'shuk, v'zman sh'abal moda yafsul isha ein abal moda lo yafsul ozev lo zeh. Right? How could it be Rabbi Yossi's the one who is not chosh l'piron? If you find a k'suba, if the Baal admits, then you give back to the woman. What's the problem? He's admitting that he hasn't paid yet. But if the Baal doesn't admit, then you don't give back to anyone, because chayishinan l'piron. And Davka Rabbi Yossi Omer Oda Tachas Baila Yachshul Isha Nis Armala Onis Garsha Lo Yachshul Lo Zeh Lo Zeh. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, if she's still married, you give it back to her, because obviously there's no pirom while she's still married. But if she's divorced or widowed, then there is a possibility of pirom, then you shouldn't give it back. So you see that Rabbi Yossi is choshesh for pirom. We see everyone's choshesh for pirom here, but including Rabbi Yossi is choshesh for pirom. Agav, we're not going to get into this yet, but we see from here that even if you're choshesh for piron, that's only when she's divorced or widowed. You're not choshesh for piron while she's still married. Right? So this is the machlokes rishonim that the rishonim here mentioned, machlokes in the Ravid and pretty much everyone else. The Ravid learns from here that, what does it say in Baal Basra Daf Hey, anyone? Hazaka? Einan Brei Tosamano, that people don't pay a loan early, so therefore we can assume there's no piron Tolzmano before the loan is due. The Ravid learns from here that even if you're choshesh for piron, that's only when the loan is due. When the loan isn't due yet, because she's still married, we're not choshesh for piron, and that's Ravid Shita. If you find a star, we're not choshesh for piron, before the loan is due, because no one would pay the loan before it's due. That's the Rabbi Shita. All the other Rishonim disagree with him. All the other Rishonim say no. Rishonim say no. We're Chosh Vivirom even before the loan is due. They bring many Rayas from Rores that we'll get to later on. A complicated Rayas. Rather, we're Chosh Vivirom even Tosvano. We're only not Chosh Vivirom in Ksuba, because Ksuba, while she's married, is less than Tosvano. Why is Ksuba when she's married less than Tosvano? Not only is it not due yet, you don't know if it'll ever be. This is not just a loan within the time. This is a loan that you never know if you'll have to pay, right? Because you never know if he'll have, maybe he'll have to pay it, maybe he won't have to pay it, right? If he divorces her, he'll have to pay. If he dies, he'll have to pay. If she dies, he won't have to pay. So obviously no one would pay a loan if they don't even know if they have to pay it or not. That taka is pashut. I might pay a loan before it's due. But no one ever pay a loan if they don't even know if they're chayiv or not. Right? I might be chayiv one of you. Why would I pay you? So therefore, this is not a raya for the raya. But again, this is a side point we'll come back to. The raya that sees this is a raya that toch zmano lo choshen lepiron. And the other Mishnah is saying, no, this just means we're not choshen lepiron if you don't even know if you're chayiv yet or not. But toch zmano, with a chayiv vada, we are choshen lepiron. Okay, that's something we'll come back to. Okay, that's an interesting question. What if you have a mitzvah ligarsha, then maybe it could... Okay, it could be in that case that maybe we would be closer to your own. After that case. Obviously, it have to be a case of mitzvah ligarsha where she deserves a ksuma, right? Not mazana. But a mitzvah ligarsha, let's say, the guy becomes a tanner or something, and Bezin is kofahim legarish and leiting suva, or she wants to go to Israel and he doesn't. So it could be in that case. That it would be different. Why not? Okay, Vaitu. Let's assume for now. Okay. So anyway, we have a stira, the hero of Yossi's Chayish Lepiron. So we say, well, we have three answers in the Gemara. The first daya is, we're Epoch. So that really it's the Rabbi Yossi is Chosh Vivirom and the Chachamim aren't. But in the price of the Ksuba, they're both Chosh Vivirom. No, Shtar Ksuba Kulu Rabbi Yossi, Chosh Vivirom, Chosh Vivirom, Ina Baal Modu Lo Yachsu Lo Zev Lo Zev, Amed Vom Rishu Sarma Lo Nuskar Shavu, Oda Tachas Bayi Lo Yachsu Lo Isha, Shavu Yossi Omar, Oda Tachas Bayi Lo Yachsu Lo Isha, Nesharma Lo Nuskar Shavu, Lo Yachsu Lo Zev Lo Zev. Let's just make sure we have Hush of Shad of the Gemara straight. I'm not saying anything fancy now, just reading Daf Yomi Gemara. We have 3 days. Who's the... the day here is the Epoch, meaning that comes without a name. Then we have what Rav Papa and Ravina, right? So the day without a name is Epoch. Here we have the case of the Shtar, Chachamim, and Rav Yossi, and here we have the Ksuba, Chachamim, and Rav Yossi. The Epoch says, here the Chachamim say, Lo chayshinan lepiraon. Rabbi Yossi says chayshinan lepiraon because we're epoch, right? Oh, how does that fit the price of the ksuba? The answer is there is no chachamim. It's really all Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says chayshinan lepiraon, meaning in this almana oh nisgarsha, because toksman we're for sure not chayish lepiraon by ksuba. Because you don't know if you're going to have to pay or not. Okay, that's Rav Papa Amar Liolam Lo Tepach. Rav Yossi, that's Ramler Abonik Amar. He says Liolam Lo Tepach. Right? So he starts again. Here, Hashinan Tachacham Mor Hashinan Lepiraon. And Rav Yossi, who is Lo Hashinan Lepiraon. Then, the Chachamim worked fine in the Braisa. The Chachamim are Hashinan Lepiraon by Iksuma. What's Rav Yossi saying? So Rav Yossi l'dvrayam de l'drabbanin ka'amar l'hu l'di di afilin sarmal l'sgarsha nami lo chayshin l'piraon l'di d'chu odu l'imiyas pa odu tachas bayla d'yachsir l'ishad l'abbas v'yron hivi amar l'rabban neymar t'rari atvisa. He says Rav Yossi atzmo says lo chayshin l'piraon and always Yachzir Leisha. He was just saying that Aliba Drabbanan,
Reb Yossi Aliba de Rabbanan say, there's no chash piraon beoda tachas baila.
He says, for me, I'm never chosh piraon. Ah, but shouldn't even you admit there's no chash piraon beoda tachas baila? Like we said, everyone agrees no chash piraon beoda tachas baila. And what do the Rabbanan say? Right, they can't say chash piraon. You would never be chorei if you don't know if you're chayim or not.
But the chachamim say that there's no chash piraon, but there is a chash
tzori. What does tzori mean?
Tzori means literally like a bag of money.
That there's no chash aftasa. It's the aftasa, not the tzori.
There's no chash piraon tosmano,
but what he might have done is given her a bag of money to hold on to in case she needs to be paid. What do we call, what would we call that if he gives her, like, in case she needs to be paid? It would be like a mashkon of some sort, right? Not a classic kind of mashkon, but it'd be like a mashkon. Why would he give her tzrari?
So this is a machlokes rishonim.
What's the chash of tzrari atfasa here,
right? What's the machlokes rishonim tzrari atfasa?
What does Rashi hold in tzrari atfasa? Not in the beginning of the marriage. Rashi says, love that at the beginning or some point. But meaning, like, nothing to do with what happened now. Right? Nothing to do with recent current events. He gave her, why would he give her tzrari?
Because he, apparently, he's a shrewd guy. He loves his wife.
But he knows that his Yorshim might not love his wife. Like, for example, perhaps his Yorshim are not their joint children. Right? So, or maybe even they are and they're just not nice.
But it's not an uncommon case that his Yorshim are his children for a previous marriage. Or his Yorshim or Nebuch, he doesn't have children. His Yorshim are his brothers and uncles and cousins. So he knows they're going to give her trouble someday.
So he says, look, I want you to have your money. Right? Right now we're married. You don't need anything. I take care of you. When we die, I want you to be taken care of. So here's a bag of gold. And that way, you can just on the down low, and here's a bag of gold, you don't have to tell anyone, you can always get your tzuba, no one has anything on you. So, that's the chash of tzrari atfasa.
So, Rashi says, bishas nisuin, and why?
Well, his lashon is, Shelo yatrichu ha-yorshim.
Shelo yatrichu ha-yorshim. Right, that the yorshim shouldn't bother her. She should have her steady gvia.
Okay.
What is difficult about Rashi's pshat?
The Ramban seems to agree with him a little. The Ramban seems to agree with him. What's difficult about Rashi's pshat?
Why can't he return the woman?
Right, okay. That's the great difficulty. The smaller difficulty might be, this is not really difficulty, is why are we chosesh here more than in any other suva?
After all, the husband divorced his wife, right? This is this is the shudderific quote. The husband divorced his wife. He can't claim, oh, I gave you tzari. So why are we choshish here more than in a normal case of divorce? Right, let's even to be very clear. Anyone see the...
In any divorce, the husband says, well, maybe I gave you tzori. We say, what do you mean you gave? You can't just make up you gave her tzori. Pay her the money.
So why are we here more choshish than in a normal case of divorce? So what does the Ramban say?
Because the principle of, this might be the principle of Chum also, so that's easy. Ramban says, the principle,
which, again, we're going to leave ourselves in a bit of suspense. This principle is the yisod of everything in the sugya, but we're going to leave ourselves in a little suspense about it. If I can find the Ramban, here it is. It's a very simple principle, which says that
came in the Nasral Israel Vichaishina Khomad Batsina Lamechash. Any star that didn't fall is different. Once a star got lost, fell meaning got lost, that is a reisa, and we're choshesh for everything. We're choshesh for all kinds of outlandish shashos when a shtar is lost. That's the principle of the Ramban. It's not his principle, he's quoting the word in Daf Yud Beis. Principle of Kivan Dinafal Itra Vechashinon L'chol Mai De, what is it say? D'matzina L'meichash. We have a special rule that when you lost the shtar and I pick it up, I'm choshish for everything. Even things I'm normally not choshish for. Okay, why is that? Why is the shtar weaker when it was lost? We'll have to figure out. Okay, so that's easy. Why are we all of a sudden choshish for shtar here more than any other case? Ah, because the principle of a shtar that was lost, we have all kinds of choshashos. Okay, the more difficult question that the Rishonim asks, Josh says, is, what was the question?
Why don't we just return it to the woman?
Meaning, when he gave her tsrari, what was he agreeing to let her have?
She got the shtar.
And tsrari, right? He agreed to let her the shtar and tsrari. So even if she has tsrari, she gets the shtar back. And not to mention the fact, it's actually usur to give your wife tsrari instead of a shtar. Right? That's the kind of Shimon ben Shetach. It says in Ksubos that originally they used to say, here's the money for the Ksuba, take it when you need it. And then they saw, what's the reason for the kind of Ksuba? Anyone? Kalabay Nebel Tziyash. Then they saw that it was becoming easy to divorce. The husband would just say, take your money and go. Right? And therefore they made a takana that he can't just give her the money. He has to give her a shtar that she can collect from all his property. So he can't give her the money instead of the shtar. He has to give her tzvari and the shtar. So why doesn't she get the shtar back? So that's the simple question, which is, even if she has tzvari, doesn't she deserve the shtar also? Because tzvari doesn't mean instead of a shtar. That's not something people do. That's all against Shimon ben Shetach. You're not allowed to give your wife tzvari instead of a shtar. You can give her tzvari with a shtar. So if you gave her tzvari with a shtar and she lost the shtar, give the shtar back to her. What's his taina? Meaning he's right, you're right, you did give her tzvari. Give her the shtar anyway, so what's the whole issue?
I mean, that's the Rashba answer.
The Rashba answer is, I think, a different shot of tzvari.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
but what do you answer for Rashi?
He's saying you can give her. If you temporarily, you can give her.
Okay, but that's not Rashi. Rashi's not talking about temporarily, right? Rashi says from the beginning of the Nisuin, or close to that. So this is very dochok. The Rishonim don't defend Rashi here. The Achronim defend Rashi b'dochok. You have to really say that we're choshish for crazy chashos in this case. And l'chora, what you have to say is that she denies receiving tzrari, and the husband has the right to confiscate the shtar ksuba until she admits she has tzrari. Okay, this is a big assumption to defend Rashi. I don't know of a better way to defend Rashi. You have to make a weird hechi timtza. He says, meaning, if he had said, don't you have tzvari? She would have said, yeah, I have tzvari, but I want tzvari and the shtar. That would be a non-issue. That's not what we're talking about in the price. Then, of course, you'd have to give back the shtar and the tzvari. You have to make a weird okenta. Not only does he claim tzvari, she denies tzvari. He says, didn't I give you tzvari? She says, no, you never gave me tzvari. And you have to make an assumption that if she denies the tzvari, as long as she admits she has tzvari, so she deserves tzrari and the shtar. But if she denies the tzrari, then she's trying to steal from him. He has the right to withhold the shtar until she admits receiving tzrari. He doesn't have the right to compensate the shtar until she gives back the tzrari, but he has the right to withhold the shtar until she admits she has tzrari. That's an assumption. But l'chora, that's the dochuk assumption you have to make for Rashi. Yeah.
Couldn't she claim amigui? She could have said, I have tzvari and also, so you should believe her that she doesn't have tzvari.
No, because if she had said she had tzvari, then when he dies, she doesn't get to collect twice. She doesn't get to collect again.
No, if she hold
amigui means tzvari. You would have won the same thing. If she had admitted tzvari and then he had died, she would have just kept her tzvari. If she denied tzvari and he dies, she gets more money. So therefore it's not amigui.
Isn't there one if she does a hold the tzvari as an addition to the ksuba?
No, it's just an alternate mode of payment. It's an additional
option of payment. It's not an additional amount of payment. No one says that. Anyway, that's Rashi. You see how Rashi is very dachuk. Because you have to make this weird scenario that he claims tzori and she denies the tzori, and you have to make an assumption that he has the right to withhold the shtar ksuba until she admits to the tzori. The Rashba and the Ritva say a much smoother pshat of tzori. What do the Rashba and the Ritva say? Why did he give her well, what's his kind of tzori?
She lost her ksuba, she needs something from you.
Exactly, this is a din. Everyone knows asur l'shasas ishto b'liksuba, right? It's asur to live with your wife if she doesn't have a ksuba. So what if the chacham say if the ksuba gets lost? Never, if they have to separate until they, what if there's no scribe nearby? So chachamim gave a eitzah if the ksuba gets lost. This could be halacha l'maisa. Someone says, I lost my ksuba, what should I do? Right? So the answer is, write a new ksuba. Okay, what should I do until I can write a new ksuba? Right, it's now 11 o'clock at night. We're not writing a new ksuba. What should I do until I write a new ksuba? The answer is no problem. Even though I just said that Shimon Shechach made a takana that on an ongoing basis, you can give tzori instead of a shtar ksuba. On a temporary basis, it's mutter to give tzori instead of a shtar ksuba. That was the case the Gemara mentioned, that an obvious case where for 24 hours you can't write your wife a ksuba? If it's Shabbos, the Gemara says, what do you do if you lose your ksuba at Shabbos? No problem, you're mocked at tzori until you can write after Shabbos, so you can write a ksuba, no problem. That could be halacha l'maisa b'zmanas as well. That what should you do if the wife loses her ksuba until you can write a new one? No problem, temporarily you're allowed to be mocked at tzori. So then what's his taina? No. Haksuba Hifisa Tsrari Ad Sheyichtovla Suba Acheres. He gave her the Tsrari temporarily, and now you have to make the that's a very reasonable chash, right? Meaning, that's not an outlandish chash. That's a reasonable chash. What do you mean? The halacha says if you lose your ksuba, you should be mafis tzrori. That's a very believable chash on the that the husband makes. After all, the halacha says you can be mafis. You should be mafis tzrori. It's in Stavri who have done that, and that's both are easy. A. Why are we choshesh? Because it's common that a husband will give her tzrori when she loses her ksav. The husband wants to sleep with her. Then what can he do? The only way for him to sleep with his wife is to give her tzrori. And B, why doesn't she deserve her shtar as long as she has tzrori? That's very easy. Because the tzrori was only temporary until she gets a shtar. He didn't give her the tzori to hold on to until he died. He only gave her the tzori temporarily until she gets a new shtar. So he thought it was temporarily until he writes her a new shtar. But he also meant temporarily until we find the shtar. Until we find the shtar, here's tzori. So that obviously, if he claims he gave her tzori, he does have to give her a new ksuba until she gives back the tzori, because the tzori was only temporary until he gave her a new ksuba. Then obviously, he says, I gave you tzori. She says, no. Then he has the right to withhold the shtar. He says, I only gave you tzori until you got a new shtar. Okay, so that is so that's a much more pashut way of reading pshat in the Gemara. Let's go on. That's Rav Papa. Ravina Amar Liolam Epa Kamaisa V'Taimid Rabbanu Hafmishem D'Rashin El Shteik Subos Rav Yosef Shteik Subos Lo Chayish. What does Ravina say? Ravina said Liolam. sorry. Epa Kamaisa. So we go back to Chacham or Lo Kaishinan Lepiraon. And Rav Yossi is Kaishinan Lepiraon. So in the Brice of Aksuba, now Rav Yossi makes perfect sense. Kaishinan Lepiraon, so if she's divorced or widowed, then he doesn't have to give it back. If it's, she's still married, then you do give it back to him. What did the Chachamim hold? The Chachamim hold lo kaishinan lepiraon, but kaishinan
l'shtei ksubos. The Rabbanan and Chami, they're not choshev for piron. After all, if it was piron, it would have been ripped up. They're choshev something else for shtei ksubos that he wrote, or two ksubos. Now, why would anyone write their wife two ksubos?
They lost the first one.
They lost the first one, and he wrote her a second one, and that's a very mistabrach shash, right? We know he lost the first one. How do we know he lost the first one? She lost the first one. We found it, right? Because it's common. To write her a second ksuba if she lost the first. And therefore, now, if she brought two ksubas into court at the same time, nothing that would happen. They would say, come on, you only deserve one ksuba. You're only married to him once. But since there's a chashash rachok of nezek, that she might be bring one ksuba and one bezdin and wait till they forgot about it and go to a different place and bring the other ksuba someplace else, she might get away with collecting ksuba twice. And he claims, don't give it to her because she has two ksubas. Therefore, that is a valid taina, and that's what the chachamim are, even though they're not choshev piraon, because that's not a common thing. Come on, he would have ripped it up if he was pogreya. They are choshev shtei ksubos, because that's a more common thing.
There's no way of like preventing that you have to pay with the edim, so there's more.
So there is a way of preventing that. there is a way of preventing that. After all, he could have edim that he already paid the ksuba. But the point is, there's always some potential that he might end up getting ripped off. Obviously, what would he do if she had two ksubas? First of all, he would have Aiden that he paid already and bring him in. Maybe he'd even get a receipt that he paid already and bring it in. Maybe tiny other bids that they paid already and get a piece of paper. But there's always some possibility that, what if all of a sudden he goes away to Medina Hayam and she goes to another Bezdin when he's not there to defend himself and manages to collect again? Or what if he loses the Aiden Dyer, he loses the evidence? Meaning he still has potential damage that can happen to him, and therefore they're about an achoshish for two ksubas. Not that she would normally be allowed to collect twice, but she could theoretically slip through the cracks and collect twice. It's not impossible that she would get away with collecting twice. Therefore, that's enough of a taina to not return to her.
This is really related to the Rashba and the Ritva. They're both choshish that something happened and he took care of it.
Right, the Rashba and the Ritva say story is similar to... the Rashi and Ritva say story is similar to two shtei ksubas. As a matter of fact, they even point that out. That I think the Rashba, I forget if it's the Rashba or the Ritva, says this explicitly. According to him, according to Rashi, story and shtei ksubas are two totally, totally different inyan. According to the Rashba, story and shtei ksubas are really the same inyan. And I think it's the Rashba who actually points that out with Furish. What does he say? Yeah, Rabina, who says Shivsu, who did not even much of the main word Tzrari. Yeah, he could also have said Tzrari. And Echanami, you could substitute Tzrari for Shteik Suba, the same basic idea. It's just that Tzrari is a short-term solution. It's not a lot of luckily, it's a long-term solution. Long-term, you would need, Shteik Subos. You would need Shteik Subos. And therefore, so one of them chose a short-term solution, the other one chose a, that the other one chose a long-term solution. Probably the reason they were dyke, he doesn't say it explicitly, is because over here, Srari is only necessary for when they're still married. Right? Because when they're not married, there's a chashash piron. So when they're still married, that's a short-term thing, so they use Srari. Over here, Shteik Subas, the Chacham HaKadosh is bein when they're married, bein when they're not married. They're not chashash piron. So if it's talking about bein when they're married, bein when they're not married, that's a long-term perspective. So not that it has to be, it just makes more mistaber to talk about the long-term solution when you're trying to deal with whether they're married or not, and the short-term solution when you're trying to deal with only when they're married. Okay.
So nachmina would be held when they claim they lost it. If they lost it a long time ago, you wouldn't be kosher.
Correct, exactly. Okay, now what we haven't dealt with yet is why should we be kosher for chashos that are not so obvious, right? Why is there machlokes tanaim, right? The machlokes are piron, a semi-machloks in our about story, like machloks within someone else's shita, and machloks in our shteik subos, right? why should there be machlokas, whether we're choshish for far-out things or not choshish for far-out things in such cases? That we'll have to just keep in the back of our minds and come back to later on in the paper. Now let's get back to Shnayim Duk Mishtar, which is where we left off last time in the bottom Zayin of Aleph. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, machlokas Shnayim Duk Mitofes, Shnayim Mitoref. Echad Adik Mitzorif, Echad Adik Mitzorif, Zen No Tofes, Zen No Tel Toref.
The machlokus is if they're both equally holding the toref and the tofes, meaning. If we, let's, okay, you have to figure out which is the toref, it's machlokus shonim, which is top, which is bottom, but let's just say toref is top and tofes is bottom. So the machlokus is if they're both holding both, right? One of them like this and one of them like this. Although the chor would be the same thing if they were just holding the white space. Right? As opposed to if one is holding the tofes and one is holding the toref, right? Well, then that's different. Then they don't split it. One of them gets the toref and one of them gets the tofes. Now, what does the word machlokes mean? Rashi and most Rishonim say? Machlokes doesn't mean argument, right? Machlokes means, and he brings Raya's from the Rishonim, bring Raya's from Shas, where machlokes can mean division instead of, sorry, argument, right? The Batla machlokes, they quote the Gemara, the division is nullified. So the division, when you split it in half, when they're both holding on to equal halves, when one has a toref, one has a tofes, then you don't split it in half, one of them gets the toref, one of them gets the tofes, and let's assume the guy who gets the toref is better off. The guy who gets the toref is better off. That is, the Michasim L'Ritva suggests, but it doesn't make a difference, you can even read Machlokas' argument, but then it ends up being the same thing. I mean, he says, no, it means the argument of Rashbag and Rebbe, when they say you should split it, is only if they're holding, both holding tofes and toref, but one is holding tofes, one is holding the toref, then one gets the toref, one gets tofes. So he says you could say Machlokas means argument, but he ends up the same place. It's the argument which says that you can split it, so basically it comes down to the same thing. When do you split it in this case? But, sorry, if one is holding tofes, one is holding the toref, then one gets the tofes, one gets the toref. Rabbi Yochanan amar liolam cholkin, v'afilo liolam cholkin. He says, no, you split it either way. V'afilo echad adi b'toref. What do you mean? Even if one is holding the tofes, one is the toref, you split it, and he really argues in real azar. V'atani zen notal makam shi'ad magas. The Brisa says that you just get what you're holding. Right? In Mechora, what do you mean? The Brisa says you get what you're holding. So the answer is, lo tzrich l'dagoy toref b'mitzi. No, Rav Yochanan is talking about a case where the toref is in the middle. Rav Yochanan is talking about a case where the toref is in the middle. Meaning, they're both holding the white space. Rav Yochanan says they split it, they're holding the white space, and the toref's in the middle, and that's why they split it 50-50. Ihaki ma'a l'meimra, isn't it obvious? Lo tzricha d'mikra l'gabi chad, like the Talmud Mishnah, ma'od singo l'mikto kachi, k'mashu d'amu l'yachad b'lo zachi, plo kachi. All he's saying is that if they're both holding the white space and the toref is closer to me, then you might have had me and say, I get whatever half is closer to me. K'mashu l'an, no, we don't get the half that's closer to us, we just split it in some abstract way. And he's saying, why split it one way? Who says draw the line here, draw the line there, or there, or there? The answer is we just have to split the value. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan, in the end, Rabbi Elazar says, Echad adi b'toref, echad adi b'toref, tofes. I get the tofes, you get the toref. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree. He says, Recholkin, if neither one of us is holding onto the toref and tofes. But he admits to Rabbi Elazar, and that's why Rashi says, and all the Mefarshim here say, Mar machada, v'lo plead. Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing Rabbi Elazar, even though it sounds like he is. Says the Olam Cholkin. The answer is no. He wasn't saying the Olam Cholkin as a response to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said one thing one day. Rabbi Elazar says the Olam Cholkin another day, and they misunderstood. They thought he meant the Olam Cholkin even in the case Rabbi Elazar is talking about. He says no. I agree with Rabbi Elazar's case. I'm an Olam Cholkin, even in a case where that's a bad case. I'm in Olam Cholkin, even in a case where they're holding like this, where no one's holding the toref, and probably no one's holding the tofes either. Right? It's just they're both holding white space, and it's closer to one guy. That's what I meant by the Olam Cholkin. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, Amalei Rachmi Divrei Levin, Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Zenotel Tofes, Zenotel Toref, lovely. What's the point of me getting the tofes and me getting the tofes? Lotzer Pitz Lochiso Hutzarech. What do I need? Lots of pizza, so means a bottle cap, right? Anyone, you ever seen like very old-fashioned, like jugs or barrels or something, what do? They take like a piece of leather or paper or parchment or something, they put it over the top, and then they tie it with a string, right? That's before they invented bottle caps. That's what Mozart repeats Tzlochiso, right? You want to just need some scrap paper. It's not even good for writing on anymore. Scrap paper to use a bottle cap. So what's the point of getting the Torah from the Tofes, right? You don't need the paper for a bottle cap. That's obviously not what they're fighting over. So the answer is, I'm really the dummy. No, it means the value of the Torah and the value of the Tofes. And that's the end of this part of the sugya, according to the original Yerushalayim Gemara, the Rishonim say, Rav Yudai going as a parish that adds, right? The Amar Hachi started his Zman Kavashava, the less based Zman Kavashava. They say, how much to start with Zman and without Zman? The start is based Zman Gavim Vashavdi, the Edoch Lugav Vashavdi, right? A start with this Zman can be Govim Mishubadim, right? What's the point of Mishubadim? How does Gvim Mishubadim work? If I lend you money, obviously, if you sold your house yesterday and I lend you money today, I don't have a mortgage on your house. I have no rights on your house. You already sold it, right? So a mortgage only works, Mishubadim, from the day of the shtar and on. So whatever day is in the shtar, from then on, any property you sell, I already have a lien on. So you can only collect from Mishubadim. I can collect from you without a date. Says, Anstreich owes Bednar $100. You owe me $100. But if I want to collect, if you claim to have, or actually have no property, and I want to collect from the Mishubadim, but I need a date to show when my yeshiva started. So that's why a shtar with a date is worth more than a shtar without a date. Yarv leheir to bein beini.
You give him the
difference, meaning the guy who has the zman gets that additional value of the zman. And some people have the yersir of yachloku, and they split the rest. Or perhaps it's applied, and they split the rest. Then the Gemara said Yachloku, now we don't the dummy. And all along when we said Yachloku, we didn't mean you split this paper. You ripped the paper in half, obviously, that would be silly. Ripping the paper in half is basically letting the loaf win, right? We meant you split the value. Dilotem hachi, shnaim osem, betales, hachi nami depalgi, ha'afseduah. Because if you don't think it means we split the value, then shnaim osem betales, it means you rip it in half, you're going to ruin it. No, you don't ruin it. You could just sell it to two kids for a talis. But a golden talus is not good for kids, so if you really thought you ripped it in half, then that would be worthless, so obviously that can't be. No, halakash, no, it would be good for princes. If I have to split the behemoth, you think you can cut the behemoth in half, so do it, you'll ruin it. Bishlam, it's a kosher animal, you'll shech it and split it in half, and you won't ruin it, it'll be worth its full value at the butcher shop. El, it's meos, but a treif animal, then a horse. Then it's going to be worthless. If the horse is worth a lot of money, if you cut in half, it's worthless. It's just worthless meat that you could sell at a steep discount. So, el the dummy, it must mean not that you cut the horse in half, that you split the value of the horse, talking about the dummy. Here also, you split the value of the shtar.
This is so obvious. Why do we have to go into three principles?
Good. So, whose question is that? Well, that's a little bit Tosa's question, right? What does Tosa say? Tosa says that, hold on, why is it so obvious? What do you mean? Why is it so obvious that you don't rip it in half, that you split the value?
Once you rip it in half, you ruin the shtar. It's worth
it. So isn't it obvious you can't rip it in half? Isn't it obvious that you can't rip it in half? After all, if you ripped it in half, Moshe, I'm going to need your services soon. What's the havamina? After all, the Gemara already knows that it's ridiculous to lose money, right? That's silly. Meaning, if you have something worth $1 million, to rip it in half and have us each get $10 is silly. So, isn't it obvious you don't rip it in half? So, Yeah, when I say soon, that's a polite way of saying now. You have to be careful with politeness. Still worth it. Okay. You can actually compile a list of cases in Shas where they said to me politely, and then it was misunderstood. If you're holding in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, you can think of an obvious. At the end of Kuf Tzadi Vav, you can think of an obvious one. So isn't it obvious that you don't rip the shtar in half? Meaning, what do they prove in the end? In the end, they prove the fact that, well, it's obvious that you don't cut the horse in half. So it should be even more obvious that you don't rip the shtar in half, right? According to the course of horse in half, mele, it's still horse meat at least, whatever that's worth, ripping the shtar in half. So, Ellie, are you trying to deal with what I'm saying, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would flip it and actually ask the Pashat Gemara, you're blurring the lines between Adukin and Oxen, meaning, are we dealing with a case of Adukin Mishtar, and therefore we say Adiyat Umagas, and therefore that implies that you actually do split the thing in half, mashing him when you're dealing with Oxen, so that in that situation you would be maybe more noted to say that we're splitting the monetary value.
Yeah, that's what the Rishonim do deal with that. You're saying that even if we've proven that in Oxen you don't split it in half, in Adukin, you still might have a Havmin to split it in half.
It says Adi Adu Magas. What's the value of Adi Adu Magas by Ishtar? If not, then you're going to split the...
If not, then you're going to cut it in half.
Yeah.
The Gemara said what the value is, the Zman. Right? That's the Gemara's answer. Okay, what Taka is the Havmina? What is the Havmina that you would cut the Shtar in half? Who asked this question? Tosus de Ramaskal. The Achloku, right? Tosus de Ramaskal already said, what's the Havamina that you split the Shtar? I mean, he doesn't ask it that way, right? He doesn't start with the question. He says, what's the Havamina you cut the Shtar in half? That's obviously ridiculous. So what does Tosus say? He says, the Havamina, this is two basic drachim. Havamina was not to cut the shtar in half. Rather, what was the Havamina? What was the Havamina?
Split the value of the loan.
Ah. Split to cut the loan in half. Because when you find a shtar, what are two different ways of looking at the value of that shtar? What?
The money,
you can look at the face value, the amount of the loan, or you can look at the market value of the shtar, how much you could sell it for in the shuk. Right? Everyone knows, if I'm in the shuk, I'm in the business of, I don't even know what I'm in the business of, I'm buying bonds, right? Aren't these bonds, right? I'm in the business of buying bonds, right? So you sell me, what do you sell me? $100,000 corporate bond. A GM pay me $100,000 next Wednesday, right? Or 3 Wednesdays from now, whatever the case may be. So, how much would I pay for that $100,000 bond? Not $100,000. Why? Because A, maybe GM will declare bankruptcy and won't be able to pay the bonds. Who knows? Can I promise they'll be able to pay the bonds? And B, even if they do pay the bonds, I have to be on trade myself to collect the bonds, right? And C, even if I can get the bonds, I have to wait for my money, and meanwhile I can't earn interest on my money. I can't invest my money. So obviously I would only pay, it depends on the circumstances, right? Let's say I would only pay, I don't know, $950,000. Certainly if we're talking about not GM, Chaim Yankel has a shtar that he owes me $100,000. So depending on who Chaim Yankel is, so I don't know how much they'll sell for in the shuk, but certainly less than $100,000, right? If you had a shtar that said, I owed you $100,000, you'd be very foolish to pay too much money for that. So where am I going to get $100,000 from? So that's what Tosa says. The Havamina was not to cut the shtar in half, but to divide the face value of the loan in half. That's the Havamina. The Havamina was never to cut the shtar in half. The Havamina was to cut the loan in half. Then that's the equivalent, like, we all know a shtar is not gufo mamon. A shtar, you're not arguing about, we all know, you're not arguing about the paper. You're arguing about the loan. So the Havamina is to cut the loan in half. So what's the kamashal? And then, so he says, Gavitalis michol kin mamish, ha'afsedua, says, if it's really, if you really have a Havamina that if you really have a havamina to cut the shtar in half, then what do you derive from talis? It's obvious. Talis, oh, it might lose money. Shtar's going to lose all the money. Obviously, you don't cut the shtar in half. Not to mention that, but Rebbe Rishbag argued about kiyum. If you're cutting the shtar in half, and it was only a bottle cap, why did they argue about kiyum? So it's obvious that you don't cut the shtar in half. Right? The havamina was to cut the loan in half, and then what's the kamashvalan? What's the maskana? The maskana is that you divide value of which you sell for in the shuk. That's like talis and behema. You sell it in the shuk and divide the value. So that's the kamashvalan. The kamashvalan is, it's all a matter of selling in the shuk and dividing the value. Not only don't you cut the shtar in half, you don't even cut the loan in half. That's how Tosfos reads the Gemara. Okay, that's going to be very important. We'll come back to that in a moment. I mean, according to Tosfos, the argument here is, I know, the argument here starts out as an argument about the loan, right? I say, I paid the loan, and you say, I didn't pay the loan. But we're really not arguing about the loan. We're really arguing about the shtar, right? We're not arguing about the loan. We don't flip the loan in half. We're really arguing about the shtar. I say it's my shtar, and you say it's your shtar. What are you doing? I say it's my shtar, and you say it's your shtar. Ah, then we sell it in the shuk and half for me and half for you. Right? Meaning, I have to pay you half the shuk value of the shtar.
Is this thing down, say, Tosos is, sheet of Anan Tahadi, Masha Tafas Yadu, Shalohu? Meaning, if at the end of the day, we're not really thinking that, the half that I'm holding on is really mine. We have to go to the shuk, and then we have the paper, and then we split it. Meaning, it's more, it's less of a, it's all made beneklok, because we're both holding it as opposed to having to go and do something with it. At least impossible doing something with it.
Is this against Tosa's An and Sadi?
Unless you say that they're both shifting.
Why? It's an Anan Sadi Rishufin in the Shtar.
Right.
Well, you could theoretically say the Anan Sadi doesn't apply to the Shtar. The Shtar is just a regular Muchzakos, because by the Shtar it's sort of less likely that they both own it. So you could say Tosa Anan Sadi doesn't apply to the Shtar, because by Shtar they usually don't both own it. That's a good Ha'ara. Okay, maybe it would. It's an Anan Sadi that's both of our Shtar, that we both have a riot in the Shtar. Okay, now let's try to understand the Gemara. Now we're going to have to go back and see what's the other answer. Right? We're going to have to go back. You know what? Even now, let's go back. Now, is this who disagrees with Tosfos's way of reading the Gemara? Who disagrees with Tosfos's way of reading the Gemara? Well, who disagrees with Tosfos's maskana? Right? That's the real way to go. Who disagrees with Tosfos' maskana? If you disagree with maskana, then you can't read the Gemara that way. Who disagrees with Tosfos' maskana? There is a leading question about this. The Rambam sounds like he disagrees with Tosfos' maskana, right? Because what does the Rambam say? Sorry. The Rambam says, "Shnayim sheyochel mishtar amalvo mishali yivotzesi liparabom mcham alov imparatim meni nafal im haya shtar sheyochel kaimos and nisva sheinu b'dam elu pas mechetzon v'yishav sheinu b'dam elu pas mechetzon v'yishalim alov v'mechza." Right, says this one swears that I have no less than half the money. This one swears almost half the money. Pays half. Sounds like from the Rambam, like you're not paying half of the value of the shtar in the shuk. You're paying half of the face value of the loan, and that seems to be the way they understood the Rambam, because if this is the Rambam, that's Tosfos. The Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, I don't have it here. The Mechaber says, you want to read me that part of the, who has the Shulchan Aruch printed out? That relevant line in Shulchan Aruch before that first Rambam? In parentheses? You have it?
Which, the Rambam?
The Shulchan Aruch.
Not on your page.
No, not on my page. The Mechaber says you pay half the value of the shtar. It's a pay half the value of the loan, and the Ramah says you pay half the value of the shtar in the shuk. Right? Mechaber's following the Ramah. He says you're paying half the value of the loan. The Ramah's following Tosos, say pay half the value of the shtar in the shuk.
So the Rambam, Lechora, has to disagree. Right? Because the Rambam says, even Limaskona, you divide the value of the face value of the loan. So then, he can't interpret like Tosfos. So what does the Havmina have to be? So, in which case, the Havmina has to be that you cut the shtar in half. Oh, the question is, what's the Havmina to cut the shtar in half? What's even the Havmina to cut the shtar in half? Isn't it obvious that you're not mafsid things? We know it's obvious you're not mafsid things. So here, the Rambam doesn't answer himself, but the other Rishonim, inter alia of trying to explain other points of this Gemara answer. How does he cut the shtar in half? And then the question returns. Be a havamina of mafsid. It's obvious you're not mafsid. That's what the Gemara says in the end. It's obvious you wouldn't be mafsid the horse. Well, hold on. If it's obvious not to be mafsid the horse, it's obvious not to be mafsid the shtar. What was the havamina in the first place? So how would you answer for the Rambam? What was the Havamina to cut the shtar? Isn't it? Aren't you being mafsid by cutting the shtar? What? That the shtar would be kosher if you cut. No, you could have a shtar if you didn't write the tofes, but if you tore it in half, that wouldn't be a valid shtar. So I think for the Rambam, the Rishonim say this, Agav Orcha Leiran, having is obvious. Is it really? It's mafsid if you cut a horse in half. Is it really mafsid if you cut a shtar in half? If you cut a horse in half, who has lost? Everyone lost, right? Why? The horse used to be worth $100. Now it's worth $10. There is a total loss. If you cut the shtar in half, who has lost? The Malve, but the exact amount the Malve lost, the Lova gained. In total, have people lost? Has Klal Yisrael lost? No. We've broken even, because whatever one guy loses, the other guy gains. And therefore, it's clear what the Havamina was. The Havamina was that it's okay to be mafsid one side as long as you're not mafsid everyone. Right? Not a crazy havamina. Somebody asks, what's the havamina? Oddly, the havamina is you rip up the shtar. Why haven't you ripped up the shtar? You're not mafsid everyone. You're mafsid one guy, and you make the other guy gain the exact same amount. It's a zero-sum game with shtaros. It's not a crazy havamina. The havamina is you wouldn't do bal. We know you wouldn't do bal tashkis. It's ridiculous to take something worth $100 and be mashkisid and turn it into something worth $10. But in the havamina, you thought you wouldn't do bal tashkis. You wouldn't make them both lose. But it's okay to make one lose in the other game. That's called tough luck. Tough luck, we ripped it in half and you lost what you gained. But it's not bal tashkis. It's not a net loss. In the end, people have the same amount of money they used to. It's just that one guy has instead of the other guy had. So,
who says this?
All the Rishonim say it in different contexts here. As it's not baltashkis. Right? Again, I don't mean baltashkis in the literal sense because the law of baltashkis. I mean just the idea that, of course, you wouldn't cause a total loss. So if with the Rambam, it's not a crazy havmina. The havmina is that as long as Klal Yisrael hasn't lost money, it's okay to make one guy lose in the other game, but then we say, but no, then it would have to be parallel to the horse, and in the horse, everyone would lose money, and that can't be, so by the parallelism to the horse, we've proven that you split the loan and not the shtar.
But this language of Vayachloku, this is using that shtar, there's clearly no Vayachloku here.
Sure there is, you're cholek the paper. I get this half, you get that half.
But there's a
that's Yachloku. What you're telling me is this is an ironic Yachloku. And it's an ironic Yachloku, that's life. What you're telling me is, really, a Yachloku could make one guy win and the other lose? The answer is the Havmina, yes.
But then it doesn't matter where you're about, the toe face, the tar, it doesn't matter where, you can tear off a...
I know, there's only the Havmina before we knew Rabbi Lesser. This isn't saying, this is only the Havmina. Now again, you could still ask the question of, how does this tie into Rebbe and Rashbag? What's the point of arguing about
mod b'shar shekasvo tzarech l'kaimo or mod tzarech l'kaimo or ain't tzarech l'kaimo. Okay, so you'd have to be nidchah to say that in this havamina they had a different shot in Rebbe and Rashbag. After all, Rebbe and Rashbag are not so clear what they mean. So you'd have to be nidchah to say. Tosafot asks, how do you have this havamina? What about Rebbe and Rashbag? What's the point of kiyum shtaros if you're turning in half? You have to say, no, enochanami, in this havamina, you'd have a different shot of Rebbe and Rashbag. Not so crazy in the havamina. Rebbe and Rashbag weren't clear, right? Rashbag says yachloku, and Rebbe says it's time b'chosmav. Could be that Rashbag says yachloku, tear it in half, and Rebbe says it's time b'chosmav, and one guy gets it. Right? In the havamina, that's not crazy. So, therefore, Tosafot is not looking.
This might relate to later on, but could you say for the Rambam that the Havamina, he didn't have this Girsa in the Gemara, so that he doesn't need to explain the Havamina?
No, this Girsa I think everyone had. Okay. It's just the word in between the dummy and the Yachloku Nami covering the dummy is what some people didn't have.
Okay.
It's just from the words, well, the Amar Hachi started his Bezman until Heif the Beini Beini that some people didn't have.
The Rif didn't have all these proofs.
What? That doesn't mean it wasn't in the Girsa. Pashtus, everyone seems to have had this Girsa. Okay, I hear the time, but you have to investigate. Okay, now let's just try to get shot in the Gemara. What bothers all the Rishonim shot in the Gemara? First, let's take shot in our version of Gemara. What's the difference between the Torf and Tofes? The difference is the value of the Zaman. Meaning, let's say we have a shtar that we want to sell in the shuk, right? This shtar in the shuk is worth, and this at least a simple shot. This shtar, let's say face value is $1,000. Okay, we could sell in the shuk for $900 with the Zaman. Without the Zaman, we could sell for $700. So whoever's holding the Zaman gets the $200. The other $700 they split, so it goes $350 to $550. Right? Why is the Zaman the only thing that's different in the Torah from the Tofes? Simple shot, what does Torah from what does Tofes mean? Based on the Mishnah and Gittin Daf Chaf Hei, or even the modern day usage of the words. Torah is the key bit, the identifying information, and the Tofes is the form, right? Everyone knows now they use Tofes to mean a form. What does the form mean? It means it has all the standard text and the fine print, but the Torah is when you actually fill in the important information. So hold up, if the Torah has all the important information and the Tofes doesn't, then why is it just the Zman? The Torah should have everything, right? The Torah should win everything. Actually, Rino Hanano says something from Yochanan, whoever the Torah wins everything, but we're not exactly sure how we read that in the Gemara. So I'm not going to answer that. So what's special about the Zman? Okay, what is Rashi's answer?
It's not necessary.
What?
It is all different.
Okay, whose answer is that? Exactly. What's special about the Zman? So, one is, Tosfos says that, well, let's make sure we have a shot in the Gemara here. What's the uniqueness of Zman? What is the Toref? And what is the Tofes? So what does Tosfos say? Tosa says that the Tofes has what we call the Tofes, right? The form and the Edom, right? What does the Toref has? The Toref has all the identifying information. So what's special about the Zman? Why don't we say the Tofes, right? Because the Toref is on top, right? Top, bottom, right? So, why don't we say that there's the value of the Edim and the value of the names? And Lechora, the Torah has more value. The Torah, there's nothing. It doesn't say who owes who how much money. So what's Tosfos's shot? Aaron?
Zman is still kosher.
Exactly. The Zman is not crucial to the Chetz of the Shtar. What does he mean? He means that you can't divide a unit in half. You can't divide a unit in half. That's obvious. It's obvious that you can't divide a unit in half. Why can't you divide a talus in half? Because in a talus, each piece of cloth can be useful for something. But if there's something that is useless if you divide it in half, then obviously it doesn't matter which part I'm holding, which part you're holding. We're both holding an equal part. Because we're both holding a veto, right? If there's something that needs all of the pieces, right? Let's say, I don't know, nowadays, what do they have? An iPod. We're both holding onto an iPod. Lemaisa, if we broke off what I'm holding on, the iPod would be worthless. If we broke off your part, the iPod would be worthless. So we can't each take a machin shiyad magas, because we're both equally shyach to all of it. Adyad magas only applies when it would be worth something without it. So therefore, he says, all the things besides man, it doesn't matter who's holding on. They're all ma'akev each other. Because if you took off anyone's part, it wouldn't be a shtar. But the zman, if you took it off, it would still be a shtar, right? The zman is the only thing that's optional. Everything else, if it didn't say who the malva was, it wouldn't be a shtar. Didn't say who the loaf was, it wouldn't be a shmar. Didn't say the amount of money, it wouldn't be a shtar. Didn't say the aden, it wouldn't be a shtar. Therefore, all those things you have to split. Those are indivisible. But without the zman, it would be a shtar. It would just be a shtar for Bnei Chorin and not for Mishubadim. Therefore, paradoxically, because the zman is less important, therefore it's more valuable. Because you can view it as a separate unit, right? It's not crucial to the shtar, so you can view it as a separate unit. That's Tosos. And therefore, Tos brings a riot, and Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas whether we go by the Eidim or not. And he says, no, that's exactly what they're arguing about. Whether Eidim Hasima Karti, Eidim Sira Karti, whether you need Eidim on a star or not. Because if you don't need Eidim on a star, again, not paradoxically, but ironically, if you need Eidim on a star, then it doesn't matter who's holding the Eidim. And that's our sugya. But if you don't need Eidim on a star, then the Eidim are optional. If the Eidim are optional, they're a separate unit, and then whoever's holding the Eidim is worth a little more. that's Tosos. How about Rashi? Or anyone else? You don't have to go in my order. Any other Pshatim?
Rashi thinks it might be only different.
Exactly. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, let's see, what's in the Tofes? What according to Rashi, what's in the Tofes?
The form, the malva, the lova, and the makom.
Form and malva, lova, umos. Right? And the Eidim, and that's on the bottom. And what's in the Toref? Zman plus Malve Love Umaos, and that's on the top. What's unique about the Zman? The Zman is the only thing which is not in both parts. Says the mal, the lov, and the mos are in both parts. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, you repeat the mal, the lov, and mos at the end. Right? A little like what we do on our ksubas. At the very end, we repeat the chas and the kala. We don't repeat the mos. Rashi says, no. In those days, they would write the whole thing, bish, lishi, b'shabes, or it is bish, sheni, b'shabes, right? Right, Esrim ve Arba Yamim Lachodesh Shvat Shnas v'chule Lamin Yishanamonu v'chule. Right, Heich the Reuven ben Yaakov. Right, Lava mi Lifas ben Esav. You know, Schum. You know, Million Shkalim Chadashim. Right, and then you'd have all the fine print. Right. Right, Kimalov, Kachuma, Homer, Kol, Story, Halvos, Mifrimine, Vafim, Glimal, Kasfai, Vachayu, Busser, Chaye, the Chas of the Israel of Christ, Lesbian of Christ, etc., 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 etc. And then in the end, they would summarize, right, Vikanina, Men, you know, Rabbi Ruben, Ben Yaakov, Lim, Aralifas, Ben Esav, Al, Schum, Halvos, Milyon, Shkolim, Chadashim, Vimonet, Gashal, Mikdime. Right, there would be Choser in the Shura Achrona. And then they would sign. So the Mavalov and Mos are even. That's why you split them evenly. The Zman only the Torah guy has. That's why only the Torah guy gets the Zman. What's glaring here? The Eidim. Doesn't only the Torah guy have the Eidim? So Rashi says, no problem. After all, we said Machlokes. Who was the Tana who said Chaluka? Rashbag. Right? Now, Rebbe also admits Chaluka once you're Mekayim it, but he's not the one who said Chaluka, right? The one who said Chaluka is Rashbag, so therefore we're only going here Aliba to Rashbag, and Aliba to Rashbag, they both have Eidim equally, because Moda B'Shtar Shekasva, and certainly Kaim Rashbag says, once he's Moda, so that counts as a Shtar Mekoyim
without us. So here you just add plus virtual Eidim via mode bishtar shekasvo. And therefore, they're all even except for the Zman. This is a big Chiddush in Rashi, right? Tosos, one of the Kashas, the Tosos asks on Rashi, right? All the Rishonim try to kill Rashi with many Kashas. What does Tosos say?
Tosos says,
you need them.
What?
You don't need them.
Tosos says, first of all, what's pshat? Right? You might not need to be mekayim them, but you still need Eidim. It's not a shtar without Eidim. So Rashi's a little, in a chami, you don't need kiyum. But still, without Eidim, it wouldn't be a shtar. without Eidim, it wouldn't be a shtar. So, l'chora, the other Rishonim answer for Rashi, that no. According to Rebbe, Taka, without Eidim, you have nothing. Because without Eidim, we don't have any testimony that this, in fact, happened. But according to Rashbag, these are valid Eidus. Even if you lose the Eidim, according to Rashbag, if you would cut the shtar, what do you have? It's like you have a shtar that used to have Mekoyim Eidim, and now lost the Mekoyim Eidim. And they say that if you have a shtar, and we know that it had proper Eidus on it, and then that Eidus was erased, that's still valid, since the Eidus is not the essence of the shtar. The Eidus is just a raya for the shtar. The Eidus is not the essence of the shtar, it's a raya for the shtar. Therefore, as long as we know there was Eidus, that's good enough. Now, for Rebbe, we don't even know there was Eidus yet, because you have to be Mekayim it, and you can't be Mekayim it if you're not holding that part of the shtar. Right, so for Rebbe, we never knew there was Eidus, because without the part of the shtar, how can you be Mekayim? You can't be Mekayim something which you don't have. But for Rashbag, we know there's Eidus. Once we know there's Eidus, even if you lose the Eidus, if we know there was a loan and you lose the shtar, you don't have a shtar. But if we know there was Eidus and you lose the Eidim, let's say water falls and blots out the Eidim, it's still a kosher shtar. Because the Eidim don't have to be on the shtar, the Eidim just have to attest to the shtar, and once we know there are Eidim, that's good enough, especially since we hold Eidim as Sira Karsi. We hold, instead of signing Eidim on the shtar, you can just have Eidim witness handing over the shtar, which shows the Eidim don't have to be in the shtar, the Eidim just have to be about the shtar. And that's how you answer. Tosos says, don't you still need Eidim for a chetzah shel shtar? Rashi will say, no. You don't need Eidim for the chetzah shel shtar. You need Eidim about the shtar. The Eidim don't have to be in the shtar. So that's the assumption. One of the assumptions Rashi has to make. Assumptions Rashi has to make is A, you don't need Eidim in the shtar. Just Eidim about the shtar. And that's exactly what Shimon Gamliel means. Okay, what's the other Kasha Tosfos asks? What's the other Kasha Tosfos asks? Right, what does Tosfos say? Rashi, they says, why do they repeat it all on the bottom? Because the din, you have to be chos the shtar b'shita achrona. What does Tosfos ask? He says that's exactly the point. We don't learn from the Shita Achrona. What does that mean, we don't learn from the Shita Achrona? Means, what came first? First, the problem of this. When you write a shtar in a nice handwriting, right? What if someone tried to stick it an extra line in the middle? It would stick out like a sore thumb. Can you imagine? You know, a Sefer Torah. Someone tried to stick in a line in the middle. You would notice it wasn't evenly spaced, and it wasn't the right size letters, etc., right? But what happens at the end of the shtar? When the Eidim sign the shtar, the Eidim are professional sofrim. They're not such experts. They're not the same hand as the shtar. They just sign underneath. Could the Eidim leave room to squeeze in another line between the shtar and the Eidos? Yes, they're not professional sofrim who are writing it with proper calligraphy. They're just scribbling on the bottom. So it could be, since the Eidim are not professional scribes, that the Eidim, well, here's my shtar. And here is, and there's room to stick one more line in there. It could happen. Therefore, Chazal made a rule that you can't paskin based on the last line, because it might have been forged and added later. Right? Meaning, let's say the whole star says $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. Then the last line says, plus another $10 million. Then we can't learn from that. Because it might have been added in later. I mean, obviously, if you think of something more clever, we still wouldn't learn from it, because it might have been added in later. Right? And that's why. Why do we chazer the shtar in the last line?
We chaz the start in the last line, because then someone will say, Adrabba, hold on, I wrote something important in the last line honestly. Now you're not going to learn from it. It's not fair. I wrote an honest last line, and now you're going to discount it. See, everyone should only do chazorah in the last line. That way, there's no chash. Even if we discount it, you won't lose. So that's the interesting thing. First they said, don't learn from the last line because it might be forged. Then, oh, but what if it's not forged and it's important? So they said, don't put anything important in the last line. Only put chazorah. If you don't learn from the chazorah, you're okay. Right? That is Tosfos kasha on Rashi, that you can't learn from the you can't learn from the Shura Achrona. That is actually a very, very, very significant kasha on Rashi. It's a little unclear. How does Rashi defend himself there? Right? Oh, you can't learn from the Shura Achrona. And what do they say? Oh, doesn't the Gemara say the bottom of the Shara Zekar? That means bottom, but not Shura Achrona. That means second last, third last line. So, and if not, we go by your last statement. So, Rashi has to make one of two dochuk answers that the Rishonim give for him. Either you have to say what the Ramban and others say for Rashi. Say, he means lav davka, the last line. He didn't mean the last line. He meant the second or third last. Lav davka min shura achrona, which is dochuk because he mentions that you have to be, right? Sarach lasim and yunishal star v'shita achrona. So that is a little dachuk. Or, you have to see what the Agos Maimonios says for him. I'm sorry. And the Pnei Yoshua. The Agos Maimonios says that you can learn from Shura Achrona if it agrees with the beginning of the Shtar. When their Chazal made a law not to learn from Shura Achrona, that was only if it's different than the beginning of the Shtar. But if it's the same as the beginning of the Shtar, then you're allowed to learn from Shura Achrona. Problem is, both of these are dochuk pshatim in Rashi. If you say he didn't mean the last line, why does he say tzarich lasim shura shita achrona? And if you say, no, he meant the last line, but you can learn from it as long as there's no contradiction, then why did he say that he ikker to the non kasim on mala masayim latamana kol holok achar tachto? Why did he say in the case of contradiction you follow the bottom line? These are both a little dochuk. Rashi really sounds like it's the last line, and even in the case of contradiction you follow it, but that's impossible. So, l'chora, I don't know how to justify the exact lashon of Rashi. Both are dachuk in lashon Rashi, because he doesn't sound like either of these, but then he sounds like something impossible, so we just have to leave Rashi a little bit, but start Eon. Basically, what all the Rishonim say is Rashi's lashon is very difficult. If you clean it up a little, it'll work. If you clean up Rashi's lashon a little, it'll work. But as it stands, it's still very difficult. Okay, so Rashi is very dachuk, unless you clean him up a little. What did Rashi himself mean? I have no way of defending. If Rashi really meant the last line davka, and he really meant we follow it even if it contradicts the first line, that's foolish against the Gemara, against the whole Gemara that he himself was quoting, of Tzarech Lachzor B'Shita Achrona. So I can't defend Rashi, neither can the Rishonim and Achronim, without sort of making him a little bit lav davka. Yeah, say Rashi's Lashon is a little bit lav davka. Otherwise, it's very hard. Okay, that's Rashi and Tosfos. We didn't get to the most interesting parts yet. And it's already 12:45. So I think what we'll have to do next time is we'll finish up the different shatim. We'll put this chart back on the board. Moshe will email it to me. And we'll finish up the different shatim in the Zman. Then we'll go to the sheet of the Riff and the Rambam, try to figure out the longest of the Riff and the Rambam. And that will only take us half a shir, and then we'll go on to the sugya of Magbim and Tzila Chavero, Kana Chavero. I'll send out the Makoros, Mr. Chen, tonight.